Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
We're so blessed today to be able to have Pastor Chrissy, who is our senior pastor, Pastor Karen and Chrissy in many ways, Jess and myself. Really, we just echo their voice here on Sunday and in this campus and everything that we do and say. And so we're a church that always honors. We will never apologize for honoring. So if you're able to, would you stand to your feet with me as we honor the word of God that Pastor Chrissy is going to bring right now?
2 Kind, 2 Kind. Grab your seat. Thank you, band. Can we honor these guys? How great are our band this morning? Who felt the presence of God during worship this morning? It's real precious. Hey, Belmont, I got to say, you're looking good. Can I just say that? You are looking really good. Are you feeling good? Are you feeling good? Good. I had the privilege of going to Adelaide and speaking at a women's conference last weekend, and I was the other guest speaker was from America, and she would get up on stage and go, "Are you feeling good? Are you feeling strong?" She had this awesome accent, which I can't do, but she was great. So are you feeling good? Are you feeling strong? Oh, amen. And even if you're not, let the weak say, "I am strong." Amen. Amen. So good. Hey, I just want to commend Pastor Gareth and Jess for what they're doing, you know, on the ground here in Belmont, because I just feel, I don't know if you can feel, I sense a sense of momentum about what God's doing here in the community in Belmont. And every time I come here on a Sunday morning, I drive past Swap Meet. My goodness, in the car park at Belmont Forum, you know what I'm talking about? Is it trash and treasure? What is it? What's it called? It's rubbish. I was like, come to our event called Rubbish. It's rubbish. No, it's Swap Meet. Is that the official name? Swap Meet. But I tell you, what a hive of community, right? And I just think God wants to do something in this community, you know. The Father's heart is for this community. And I just feel like we are positioned, Belmont. We are just on the verge of seeing God do something so awesome in this community. Do I have an amen? This building is too small in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's got nothing to do with my message. I'm just feeling fired up. Who's ready for the Word of God? You would have heard already this morning that we're coming into a season where we're really going to give our focus and our attention to wholeness. If you've been around Nations Church any time at all, you would know we have 8 cultural statements. They're statements about who we are and who we are becoming in Christ. And the third one of those 8 statements is this. Can we put it up? It says, we are about wholeness. We as a church, Nations Church, are about wholeness. We are committed to pursuing personal growth and wholeness and seeing Christ transform us from the inside out. Who's excited about that statement? If you are not, you will be by the end of this message. You know, it's not just an idealistic statement, I want to say. It's not just something that, you know, we would pen because it has a nice ring to it. Well, that sounds good and Christian. We should put that on our website. That would make people think that we were nice and holy. That's not what this is about. It's not. This statement actually has the power to unlock your life. It has the power to be the most powerful statement in a person's life to ensure. It has the potential to ensure that your life stands, the potential to make sure that you live your life from a position of victory. It has the potential to ensure that you walk in the fullness of all God has for you. But I use that word potential because, you know, unlocking the power in this statement is not a given. It is not a sure thing because it's not just enough for it to be the conviction of your church. It has to be the conviction of your life. It has to become the conviction of your life. It's not enough to say we are about wholeness, as in we collectively are about wholeness. For you to unlock the power of this statement in your life, it has to be, I am about wholeness. I am committed to pursuing personal growth. And I am committed to seeing Christ transform me from the inside out. And I just feel like there's a great grace on this coming season to really explore this critical importance of fighting for the state of our hearts, fighting for the state of our inner lives and developing a core conviction that would see Christ-likeness formed and fashioned on the inside of our life, to see our lives steady in Him, secure in Him, and out of that place that we would be strong and influential. Out of that place that we would reach the community around us in Jesus' name. So I've called this message Strong Foundations. Everyone say Strong Foundations. Strong foundations. Oh, that we would be a people that would have some strong foundations. Amen. And the book of Luke in chapter 6, Jesus tells us a parable and he talks about foundations. We're going to read it together out of the Passion translation is what I meant to say. It says this, it says, "What good does it do for you to say, 'I am your Lord and Master,' if what I teach you is not put into practice?" What good's that going to do you? "Let me describe the one who truly follows me and does what I say. He is like a man who chooses the right place to build a house, and then he lays a deep and secure foundation. When the storms and floods rage against that house, it continues to stand strong, and it is unshaken through the tempest, for it has been wisely built on the right foundation. But the one who has heard my teaching and does not obey is like a man who builds a house without laying any foundation whatsoever. When the storms and floods rage against that house, it will immediately collapse and become a total loss. Which of these two builders will you be?" What a great parable that Jesus talked. He's talking about these two houses, and he's telling us that these two houses had two very different outcomes. There's this one house that stands and remains standing. It remains strong even in the presence of the storm, tempest, flood, but not so the other house. The other house, the storm proved too much for the second house, and the scripture tells us that it was utterly destroyed. Now, I realize Jesus was a carpenter, but he is not trying to give us a building industry lesson. That is not what this parable is about. Jesus is using these two houses to represent our lives. He's trying to teach us a principle about our lives. So I think it's good of us that we should lean in and listen to Jesus and ask the question, what is it, Jesus, that caused this one house, representative of a life, to stand and the other to fall? And the answer is, of course, foundations. The only difference between these two houses was foundations. The only element that determined whether or not it stood or whether or not it fell was what kind of foundation was it built upon. What was going on at this foundational level? You'll note that Jesus did not give any attention to, he did not describe or define or put any weight on any external elements of this house. He didn't mention them. It's like, "Hey, Jesus, what building material did you use?" It's not there. You know, was it double brick? Was it double brick? Was it Hebel? Apparently that's a building material. Any industry people here? You know, like, you know, what color bond color did you paint the render? Was it surf mist or shale gray? Because I prefer surf mist, actually. It's, you know, shale gray can be just a little bit too cool, don't you think? Is that what you were thinking as well? I can see on your face I was seeing that. You know, I hope the houses were built in Applecross, or I hope they were built in some western suburbs place, because, you know, that is really much more to my liking, those western suburbs. You know, Jesus didn't talk about the location of the house. In fact, he did not mention one single external element. The only element in determining whether or not this house stood or fell was the foundation. The only thing that seemed to bother Jesus or be of interest to Jesus were the foundations. And here he is honing in on the foundations of our lives. What's he talking about? He's talking about our inner life. He's talking about the state of our heart. He's talking about everything that pertains to our inner world, about us being built up on his word and walking in his ways. He's talking about us being healed and being made whole and knowing our identity in Christ and being secure in who we are in him, and not just having religion, but having intimate relationship with the living God. These are the foundational things. And Jesus says they're the only things that matter. They're the only things that matter. And they're going to play this huge part in determining whether your life is going to be a life that stands and keeps on standing or whether it's going to fall. The strength of your foundation is linked to the strength of your life. You know, the depth of your foundation is linked to how high and how tall and how influential your life can be. And I want to say, if your foundation is a little bit cracked, there's every chance that your life is going to be a little bit cracked. But if your foundations are strong and established and secure, I want to tell you that there is no end to the influence that your life can have, to the heights that your God can take you, to the places that he can send you if you have a strong foundation. Here's the thing. Focusing on foundations is very countercultural. It's very countercultural. We live in a society and a culture that places maximum weight on the external elements of life, and it doesn't give very much attention whatsoever to the foundations. Is that not true? We live in a highly materialistic culture. We are flooded with media. We have social media coming out of our ears, and it's all external, external, external. It's like, look at my house and look at my career and look at my home and look at all these things. We have, you know, we elevate celebrities, don't we? Our culture does, and we like look in at their excesses. We're fascinated by them. We're fascinated by these lavish lifestyles and all these so-called successful people and all these so-called beautiful people and all of these things. And it can fuel a pursuit in us of external things. If I could just fulfill that vision, if I can just achieve that goal, if I could just, you know, pursue that career or that increment or that status or that reputation, you know, maybe that marital status, maybe that financial status, maybe that wealth goal, maybe that social status, educational status, all these external things, we can even bring them into the church. If I could just pursue that particular ministry appointment, or that sort of recognition in the house of God, if we're not careful, we can be fooled, church. We can be fooled into thinking that these external things are the things that will cause our life to stand, are the things that will cause our life to be established and strong over time. We must never be fooled. We in the church must never be fooled. There is nothing wrong with those external things per se, but listen to this. If it's all we give our focus on, we're in danger of building the house, neglecting the foundation. We're in danger of building a house on a shunky, shoddy, dodgy foundation. We don't want to do that. We must never be fooled. We must build strong foundations first for ourselves, then we must teach others to build strong foundations. Teach our children, teach our teenagers, teach the people we mentor. We must build strong foundations. You don't have to look very far at all to find evidence that reinforces this idea that it's your inner life, not your external life, that's what's going to cause your life to stand in the long run. We all know of people that have had so much going for them on the outside of things. You know, good looks, good job, good opportunities, good connections, all these sorts of things, and yet somehow their life falls over. You know, we all know of those people, don't we? Maybe they backslid, stopped serving God, stopped loving God, left the house of God, all these things. We know of these people that have had a lot going for them. Their lives fell over. But we also have seen the opposite, haven't we? We've seen the complete opposite where we've looked on a person and externally they're facing so much hardship. They're facing trials of all descriptions, and yet somehow their lives are still standing. Somehow they're still strong. You know, the sort of people that you're like, how are they even still standing? But they are. You know, I had a dear friend. She had cancer. And I went and visited her in the intensive care unit. This was a few years back. Little did I know that less than 24 hours after my visit, she was actually going to go pass away and be with Jesus. And externally, her body was so sick, just hours away from passing. But internally, my gosh, her inner man was strong. She was praising and worshiping. She had a positive confession. She had a declaration coming out of her mouth. I was there to pray for her, but she actually ministered to me. It was incredible. It's possible because of strong foundations. The Apostle Paul had a very similar thing going on. He wrote remarkable things in severe persecution. Said in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, you know what? Outwardly, I'm passing away. Outwardly, I'm perishing. But inwardly, I am being renewed day by day by day by day. He said, 2 Corinthians 4, he says, I'm not going to lie. I am hard pressed on every side. I am perplexed, I am persecuted, I am struck down. Yes, these things are statements of my external reality. But let me tell you about my internal reality. I'm not even crushed. I'm not even in despair. I'm not forsaken, and I'm most certainly not destroyed. This is my internal reality, and it's more powerful than my external reality. These guys are just examples of the fact that it's your inner life, Nations Church. It's our inner life, not our external life, that's going to cause us to stand, be strong, and be influential in the kingdom of God. That's why we've got to build strong foundations by the grace of God. We've got to build these strong foundations. The scripture is very clear that there is a flow. There is a directional flow, and it comes from the inside of our lives to the outside of our lives and not the other way around. You know, the primary influencing factor or the primary driver of your life is what's going on in your heart. Most people would think that the primary driving factor of your life is the circumstance of your life. It is not. It is not. It's what's going on in your heart. The scripture is very clear. It says Proverbs 4:23. Again, in the Passion Translation, it says this. It says, above all. Everyone say above all. Above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. I love that phrase. Pay attention, people. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. Another version would say, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Remember when Jesus says, he said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Out of what's in your heart, you will speak, you will act, you will behave. But it's a flow. There's a flow. And the world will try and tell us that the flow is the opposite direction. The world will try and tell us that the flow is outside in, outside in. If you get all the elements of your life right, if you look right, if all your ducks are lined up right, then you will be all right. No, it's a lie. It's an insatiable lie. You know, the scripture says that the flow is from the inside out. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. That's why we're about wholeness. That's why we pursue personal growth and wholeness and have a passion to see Christ transform us from the inside out, because those foundations that he builds in us are going to cause us to be strong, and they're going to cause us to be established, and they're going to cause us to reach our families, reach our communities, and reach the nations of the world in Jesus' name. You remember the story of David and Goliath? I think everybody's probably heard the story of David and Goliath at some point in their life. You can read about it in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, but it basically documents this standoff between the Israelite army and the Philistine army. And the way the battle was set up is that there was two mountains or hills, and you had the Israelites on the one side and the Philistines on the other side, and you had that big valley in the middle, and there's this standoff that's been going on for 40 days, because every day the Philistine warrior Goliath, this absolute giant of a man, the scripture tells us he was 9 foot tall, he would present himself and he would absolutely taunt the Israelite army. He would hurl abuse at them and he would say, I defy you, Israel. And he would basically say, send a man to fight me. And if you kill me, we will be subject to you. But if I kill you, and that was highly likely, you know, if I kill you, you will be subject to us and you will serve us. And that was the terms of engagement of this particular battle. And when you really stop and think about this story, it's actually crazy, because you've got an entire Israelite army and they look good. They look super fit. They look strong. Remember, you've got David's brothers there. You've got Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah. These were the guys, if you remember, if you're familiar with 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, these were the guys that Jesse, the father, paraded in front of Samuel. These were number 1, 2, and 3. And even Samuel, the prophet of God, the man of God, looked at Eliab and said, whoa, he looks good. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is in front of me. He must have looked impressive, right? He must have looked fit. He must have looked strong. And here he is, a part of the Israelite army. These guys would have been trained. These guys would have been wearing armor. They would have looked like they could take down the enemy. They would have looked fit for battle. They would have looked like they could stand in the face of battle, and yet it wasn't the case. Under the taunts and the threats of this enemy, Goliath, the Bible actually says, on hearing the Philistines' words, King Saul and all of Israel were dismayed and terrified. They were crippled in fear. They were crushed by fear. Their lives in that moment fell over. Then enter David. Enter this shepherd boy. Enter this boy that looks like nothing. You know, King Saul said of him, you're just a youth. And this guy, Goliath, he's been a warrior since his youth. Like, what do you think you can do in the face of this battle? The scriptures tell us that the only reason he was on the battlefield that day was to bring a delivery of food to his brothers. It's basically biblical Uber Eats. He's coming with bread and cheese, which I think is a really wonderful choice. I'd be happy with that on the battlefield, no problems. But you know, that is the only reason he was there that day. He looked like nothing. There was nothing in his external appearance that would suggest that he would be the one to stand in battle, yet stand he did. You know, he defeated Goliath. He took down that enemy. He led Israel to victory in this place. And you've got to ask, how's it even possible? And I want to say that the reason it was possible is the guy had strong foundations. He knew his God. His inner life had been established in the secret place. He had won some private victories. He had been transformed in those secret places. It says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, it says, but David said to Saul, he said, Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, King Saul. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. Oh, I love that. I went after it and I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. And the same God who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this stinking Philistine. Preaching myself happy. You know, when he was a nobody shepherd boy on a hill, and when nobody was watching, and when there was no battlefield and away from any public eye or public observer, he fought the lion and he fought the bear. The scripture said he went after them. He went after them and he wrestled those beasts in the secret place until the Lord delivered them into his hand. And it established in him some very strong foundations, this rock solid confidence in his God, so that what had happened in the secret place actually prepared him for the public place. So that this battle in private prepared him for a battle in public, and what he won in the secret place, what he won for his family, enabled him to win for a nation. He won it for a nation, and he was able to be strong and take that giant down because of that private victory. And my question to us today is, what private victory do we need to win? What inner life victory? What foundational victory do we need to win in our own life? Guarantee you've got some. I have had a million. Maybe there is some beasts in your life in the secret place that you need to go after and see the Lord strike them down. The beast of fear. And I say beast because it is a beast. The beast of anxiety. That beast of rejection, that beast of insecurity. I have had to fight the beast of insecurity, the beast of lacking confidence. These things, that you know, they are beasts because you try and stand up in your life and then they come and grab you and they rip you back down and they cause your life to fall over. What is the beast you need to go after? Is it comparison? Envy, jealousy, lust, some hidden sin, some sin habit or addiction. We need to go after them because defeating them in the secret place is going to prepare us for the public place. God needs us to take those things down in our inner lives so that he can promote us to the future that he has, that the world around us is going to see. Now, I can't tell the strength of your foundations by looking at you. And I know that you can't tell the strength of mine by looking at me. We couldn't have possibly told the strength of David's foundations just by looking at him, but the battle will always reveal them. The storm will always reveal them. It's the hard things of our life that are going to reveal the foundations of our life. Anyone can stand when all is well. Anyone can stand when all is calm and there's no pressure and there's no challenge. It's when the storm hits. You know, in Jesus' parable with the two houses that we read earlier on, maybe you can put up the picture of the two houses. When all is calm, how would you know? How would you know what foundations these two houses were built upon? They're standing happily side by side when all is calm, when all is beautiful, when all is amazing. Sure, you know, there'll be hints and clues maybe about what's going on at a foundational level. But anyone and anything can stand when all is calm. But what about when the storm hits? You know, what about when that time of testing? What about when the wind comes and the storm blows and the tempest rising? That's when the foundations are going to reveal themselves for what they really are. That's when we're either going to stand up or fall over. It was the battle. It was Goliath's taunts. It was the pressure that the enemy was placing on the life of Israel that revealed King Saul's foundations. It showed that the king had weak foundations. It showed that the army of Israel was had a foundation that was weak. It was susceptible. It was vulnerable. It showed it up. And it's going to be the storms and the battles of your life that show the foundations of your life for what they really are. How are we going to be when the bad news hits, you know? How are we going to be in the crisis? How are we going to be in that bad report if your marriage is struggling? Those moments in life where you feel like you're stuck, where you feel like other people are winning, but you're not really winning. When you survey other people's external worlds and compare them to the reality of your internal world, when you're comparing someone else's seen to your unseen, and it appears on the surface of things like they're winning, which is probably not the case, but you feel like you're failing, or someone gets promoted above you, or you feel a little bit overlooked, or you feel like someone else is living your dream. How are we going to hold up then? Because these are the moments that actually expose our foundations. So often what we do in those moments is like we curse the storm. We curse the storm. Ah, we yell at the battle. You know, we lament over the storm. Or, you know, we blame the battle. Look what this battle has done to me. Look how this storm has destroyed me. And we spend this time raging at the external circumstances of our lives. But when you go back to the parable of the two houses, it wasn't actually the storm that made the difference. It was the foundation that made the difference. One house remained standing. You know, in the battle, the problem for Israel was not Goliath. Goliath died. The battle was won. God overcame the enemy. The problem was the foundations and those foundational issues, you know. Maybe the Lord is saying to you right now, just forget about the storm. I'm Lord of every storm. Forget about the storm and just come to me and remember that I have authority over every single storm. Just allow me in this season to build some deeper foundations in you. Maybe the Lord's saying to you, you know, forget about the battle for now, because I am strong in every battle. I'm the Lord victorious. I have made you a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. Let me take care of the battle, but you come to me and let me dig your foundations just a little bit deeper in this season. The band can come and join me. You know, we in our personal lives have had, and in some ways are still having, a storm with our son's disability. You know, having a child under your roof with a moderate intellectual disability who's nearly 12 and is next to nonverbal, I want to tell you that that is a daily battle. You know, people like Pastor Ken and Chrissy, they're strong. But it's a daily battle, guys. It's a daily battle. And I want to tell you that I have had some moments in my life where I have yelled at the storm. I've been so angry at the storm, and I've raged against the storm of my son's disability, and I've been like, it's not fair. Why us? Why this? Why now? And don't you know that I can't progress because of the storm and the battle And da-dee-da-dee-da. Had my little tanty, my little hissy fit. By His grace, I don't do that anymore. By His grace, I don't yell at the storm anymore. I know God is sovereign over every single storm. I'm believing for a miracle for my son, let me say. I don't yell at the storm anymore. Instead, by His grace, I've come and I've said, okay, do Your perfect work in me, Lord. Dig me deeper. Let my foundations go deeper. I'm going to kill the beast of fear. I'm going to kill the beast of fear of my future. I'm going to, by Your grace, kill the beast of deep disappointment. I am going to kill the beast of grief with Your grace. I am going to slaughter the beast of self-pity in my life. I'm going to see You crush it. I will go after it. And You will deliver me from it in Jesus' name. And my foundations will go deep and deep and deep so that my life can go high and high and high. And so that whatever storm and whatever battle and whatever assault may come against us, in the name of Jesus Christ, we will stand. Yeah, come on, give Him some praise. Give Him some praise. Give Him some praise. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet all over this building? I think there's some of you who are going through battles in this place, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. But I just feel to encourage you in the Spirit of God this morning, your life does not need to fall over in Jesus' name, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I don't care what, well, I do care because I love you, and it's hard. I'm not saying that it's not hard, but in that sense, I don't care what's going on around you. I don't need to even know what's going on around you. I just want to prophesy over your life. You can stand and you will stand in Jesus' name. And if you stop yelling at the storm and say, okay, God, do whatever You need to do in me in this season. And if there's some beasts that I need to go after in the secret place of my life, well, then I open up my life to see those things defeated in Your name. So that as You go deep in me, You can begin to go high in me, that I can live in that place of strength and influence that You're actually calling me to. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. That's why I'm so passionate. We are about wholeness. We are committed to seeing Christ transform us from the inside out. And if you leave with nothing else today, I pray that you will leave be not just having it the conviction of your church, but having it the conviction of your life. That your prayer today would be the same as my prayer. God, build in me some pretty rock solid foundations. And I might not look like all that on the outside. I might just be like a little shepherd boy, a biblical Uber Eats kind of man. But Lord, I pray that when I rock up onto the battlefield, Goliath better watch out. The Goliaths of your life better watch out, Belmont. They better watch out, because you and Jesus are a majority. You're a majority in the name of the Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.